Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here on a Marriage Day as we focus on the power of affection in marriage. I've got some questions for you. Think about your marriage. Do you feel close or distant from your spouse? Do you feel passionate or mechanical? Is your behavior towards your spouse spontaneous or routine? Are you emotionally full or emotionally empty? Do you feel loved as you were meant to be loved, or is there something missing? The answer to those and other questions really reveal the core of our topic today. It's from the book Starve for Affection, where we give you much hope and insight into what it means to show the kind of affection and what affection really is in marriage. Come join us today.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. If you're starved for affection and you've got a story or were once starved, Dr. Randy wants to talk to you. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Dr. Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt. And we do welcome you to our center here today. We get this half hour on national radio and around the world online to come and share with you what we're learning and growing through the process of living intentionally, what the stories are all about coming in. And today we're focusing on marriage and the power of being intentional with affection. Now, affection is the feeling side of love. Love is an action. It's a behavior. Affection is something that affects you, right? You feel moved by your spouse. And let's face it, we affect each other every day, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But affection is a part of what goes on. But a positive affection in marriage makes a difference. So the question really is, how is it and when do you feel most affected by your spouse? How is it that they move you in a, you feel affection from them? How is it you feel affection from your spouse? What do they do? Or maybe you have a definition of affection. Maybe that's a better way of looking at it. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. This is a big deal in marriage. In fact, on page 13 in my book, Starve for Affection, let me just read a little bit of what I wrote in setting up this topic when I wrote this book. I said that most marriages don't disintegrate suddenly or without reason. Over time, layer upon layer of often unintentional carelessness causes some marital problems. Just as a lack of food will lead to physical starvation, the lack of proper care and feeding of the emotional well-being of your marriage will likely result in all sorts of troubling outcomes. And we talked about some of the symptoms that we see when there's a lack of closeness and affection in marriage. In my years of counseling with people, I've seen frustration, sexual issues, wandering thoughts, emotional numbness, anger, loneliness, and even compulsive behavior, getting into food and drugs, alcohol, and other kinds of things to kill the pain. And so affection, by the way, the research shows that it is like at the top of the list for women wanting to feel affection from their spouse. And so I would ask you, what is it that your spouse does? When do you most feel it? What are the things that happen in your marriage? Words that are said, actions that are taken. How is it that being intentional in affection has made a difference? Or maybe you struggle with this and you have a question for me. 888-888-1717.
The program was about affection or lack of affection, and I described my situation as a single or divorced person in a church, and really just wanted Dr. Carlson to address not just my issues, but so many people, older singles in my situation, that just feel left out of everything. And where can we look for physical and emotional affection when we're really just basically alone, even in church? So thanks if you can address that in some program in the future, and God bless. Bye.
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, you're not alone. There's many, many people, even married people. People are married, been married many years, and they feel terribly lonely, and many singles who do not. So it's not just a matter of marriage or singleness. It's a matter of intent. in terms of reaching out and connecting with people. I can tell you there are places and ways that you shouldn't connect because, yeah, you can be affected by people, but ways later you'll regret. And I think that the Scripture speaks to this pretty clearly. It talks about this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another. And he goes on to talk about forgiving. I think it's an attitude. And I think if we go out with not the attitude of saying, I want to know what someone can give me so I can feel something, but if I can take the attitude in my loneliness to go out and try to affect someone else in a positive way, if I can go out to the local mission, if I can go serve in the church, if I can go reach out and help young people who need encouragement, or if I can be with adults where I can serve, where I can be intentional in connecting with other people. I think when we stop and we wait, we sit on the couch, as it were, and wait for someone to affect us, it ain't going to happen. All people are looking to be affected by other people in positive ways. And so when we can take the initiative, and I encourage every person that we take the initiative in our marriage, we take the initiative in our community, in our church, to show affection that's appropriate for that relationship. That may include at times, even a handshake when you go to church. Isn't that something that we want a greeter at the door to take our hand and just welcome us with that physical contact that says, welcome to church? That's a powerful thing. Affection is an important part of being intentional and growing in our marriage. Okay, let's go to the calls. Vicki's on the line in Nebraska. Hi there, Vicki. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question today?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if I've lived an intentional life. I married a man that was 12 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And now he wants a divorce. It's only been not even 7 years. And what I had done was, I was married before, and I continually was going out to this other town to see my kids and grandkids, and he always admired that, and he complained about staying at my kids' houses, and so I bought a small house, and now he just wants to be rid of me, is how I feel, and I retired. He had pointed out all the advantages of marrying a younger man, that he would help me to see my kids and take care of my health insurance. And we've been friends for a year, and I love him. And evidently, he doesn't love me anymore. He says he does, but it's not any love that's worth anything. I've offered to sell this house.
Vicki, you sound like some of the wording you've used, that, you know, marrying a younger man, he could help me with insurance, help me with my kids, and so on. It sounded more like a deal. It sounded more like some sort of a partnership or a friendship, or but not a soul mating, not a sense of really connecting at the deep spiritual level, emotionally, physically, vision for the future, all of the things that a marriage should have. It sounds like you had more of a deal than anything else. Is that true?
I didn't think so. I still love him. I miss him. He's asked me why I even come back to see him. If I kiss him, he'll kiss me back. If I tell him I love him, he'll tell me he loves me. But
well, what happened? There's got to be something here. How did you guys grow apart? What happened in 7 years?
Well, I think the big thing was he didn't want me to buy a house here. He didn't really want me to come see my kids anymore either. But that was the thing he admired.
What
about
did he
me.
Want?
I don't know.
What are the two of you working on? What's your vision for the future?
Well, our divorce is going to be reactivated, I guess, next week, or maybe it is right now. And I was planning on coming back, and he's a trucker. He goes out two nights a week, and I was there for 11 days, and I came out here for 9, and then I go back.
So the only vision I hear for the future is a divorce. I mean, what I don't hear between the two of you, and I understand you're stuck at this point, is, and I think it's an example of what happens, Vicki, unfortunately, in too many marriages is we get into a marriage and then there's not a plan of where we're headed and what are our values and what do we believe and how are we going to grow together. Because I heard you say, Vicki, just, you know, trying to just hear, reflect what I've heard. I heard you say you married a man who was younger than you by 12 years because of, and then you gave very practical things. I never heard you say, I fell in love with this man. We've had shared vision. We love God. We want to grow together. I didn't hear any of that. I heard just a lot of practical things. And I'm wondering if you guys haven't spent the last 7 years building your relationship, building a sense of unity. Yeah, you care for each other, or maybe, quote, love each other, and whatever that word means to you guys, but that it really isn't moving you forward. You're kind of just stuck. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, he kept pointing out those were the advantages of me, because I always said I would never date anybody his age, and he always said he would never date anybody my age, but then he decided he would, and we did hit it off. I mean, we've been in counseling, but he won't talk. He won't give any answers. And my counselor keeps saying, are you sure he's not involved with someone?
And yeah. And what's the answer?
What?
What's the answer to that question?
He won't answer.
He won't answer that question?
No. But see, we were both married for 20 years, and we both did everything and anything we could to keep our marriage together. I was married to an alcoholic, and I don't know what happened to his marriage, and he doesn't know, but it's like he thinks I think he thinks anyway that he's not the best lover I have had.
Well, Vicki, listen, I'm going to send you a copy of Starved for Affection. Sally, we're going to get Vicki's address, send this to her, but let me just tell you what I've heard before I move on here. We're going to pray for you, put you on our prayer list. I didn't hear about the two of you falling in love, trusting God, having a vision for your future. What I heard was he never going to date someone who was older, and you're never going to date someone who was younger, or vice versa. But you did. There was advantages to the relationship. The ingredients that make a marriage work long-term are deep, abiding intimacy, shared goals, and vision for the future, and God in the middle of it. And without that, what happens is a repeat from the past tends to come back up and over and over. I'm going to send this to you. I want you to read it through together. Hopefully, it'll be a point of departure from your current path to one of healing for your marriage. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
No other book has more impact than the Bible. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Donna and I are looking forward to touring the brand new Museum of the Bible this October and want to share the experience with you.
And I'm Peter Brooks. Together we'll tour Washington, D.C.'s most iconic sites and discover the Bible's influence in many familiar, though sometimes surprising places, often hidden in plain sight.
Affirming your faith while providing the vacation of a lifetime for you and your family. We're so excited to share the Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour this October with you.
Yeah, it won't be the same without you. So here's your opportunity to sign up now.
And signing up is easy at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington. After that, we'll enjoy a vacation together October 10th through 16th in Washington, D.C.
I have three tips to help you love your marriage.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
You know, loving your marriage is an interesting thing because sometimes you don't feel all that much love towards your spouse, but you know God has created your marriage. And sometimes focusing on loving your marriage by loving your spouse is a beautiful thing. Three things let me share with you quickly. Number one, listen without interruption. Feeling heard creates intimacy and closeness in your marriage. Pray together each day for the next week. Creating spiritual intimacy has many benefits. And then number three, speak only words of encouragement to and about your spouse for the next 48 hours. You'll learn a lot about yourself and your marriage. For Intentional Living, I'm Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. So have you visited our Facebook family yet? If you need prayer or you're looking for support or insight or inspiration, you can find all those things and more. Oh, and by the way, it's a great place to catch up on the latest events too. So join our Facebook family today at theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon at the top of the page. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Randy.
All right. From the Intentional Living Center, thank you, Kurt. We're talking affection today and marriage as we focus on the power of having an intentional marriage. What does that mean? The word intentional means to stretch. And if you're not going to stretch toward your spouse, you're not going to reach out for him or her to connect with them at a deeper level beyond just the functionality of life, you're going to miss it because life is full of a lot of details, you know, raising the kids, going to work, all of those things. And God intends for us to connect at a deeper level beyond that within marriage. Judy's in Michigan. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Randy. How you doing?
Good, good. How do you relate to this topic and what's your question?
Well, I've been married 36 years. And sometimes I feel like we're brother and sister instead of husband and wife. Mm. It's kind of hard. He doesn't get it. That
what doesn't he get?
I need more. I need kisses. I need an arm around me. I need to be held. I need to be back in the back seat of the car again.
And is this
like you used to be years ago?
Yeah, and let me ask you though, Judy. That's pretty good. 36 years, I'm still coming up here. Now, let me ask you though: was that part of your marriage? Was there the kisses and the arms and the hugs and all that kind of thing early on? Has this changed, or is that just the way he is?
We had it at the very beginning, but it kind of, when we had our kids, we adopted our kids, and we adopted a special needs child when she was 4.
Uh-huh.
And that took a lot of time. That took me out of the home a lot.
Well, Judy. A couple of things I found in life is that life is cumulative, and meaning that when we get started, not only are we young and in marriage and in love and all of that, but we don't have anything except each other. We're clinging to each other. And as life goes on, we start collecting stuff, collecting jobs, collecting houses and cars and bills, and then kids come along and grandkids and some of these, and many of these things are wonderful things. They're not bad. It's good things. But our life starts to be filled with a lot of other things other than each other. And I have discovered, Judy, in working with couples, that unless you plan it, unless there's a planned spontaneity, as I call it, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to change. And what I heard from you is a list of long things that you need from him. I would encourage you just to just to take the lead yourself. Steal him away for a weekend and go find the backseat of the car. Steal him away and take him out on a date. You take the initiative to do some things that maybe will surprise him, that will re-spark for him. Because I'm wondering if he's just caught in a routine and you're both sitting there kind of just moving along, somebody's got to take the lead. And if your husband isn't, why don't you?
Yeah, I try to talk with him and explain it to him. And
no, you're missing my point. I don't think explain it to him. Just show him.
Okay.
Just take the lead and do what you did 36 years ago when you first got married.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a stage in life where we need to demonstrate it. We don't need to talk about it. We need to go and do it. And I would really encourage you, if you want affection in your marriage, you go find out what his need is and go meet that need. And go out and be assertive in terms of your relationship with him. Because what will happen is you talk to him and he doesn't respond for whatever reason, then you're going to be even more discouraged. And it's a vicious cycle that goes around and around.
Well, I think one of the problems is he's dysfunctional. You know, he can't perform. And so, I think that has really made a difference with him.
He's got a sexual issue. Yeah. Has he seen his doctor?
Yeah.
Has he talked to his doctor?
Yes, and he's tried medication, and he said that doesn't work, and he doesn't want to go back to the doctor.
All right. Well, you've tapped into an issue that he needs to get some medical help for, but that is not a reason not to have affection in other ways with each other and spending time together. I know it can become a problem in a marriage and can create stress in a marriage. But unless the two of you can talk about these things, unless the two of you can address these issues and creatively, after 36 years of marriage, see that affection is not only in the physical realm. In fact, in the book Starve for Affection, let me look just to some of the titles in this book. That when I wrote it, I thought about Starve for Passion, Non-Sexual Affection, Shared Vision, Spiritual Affection, Trust, Contentment. All of these areas, we can have affection with each other at lots of levels, emotionally, of course, physically, spiritually, and other ways so we can connect with each other that will honor Christ. You hang on. I want to send this to you. Judy, I encourage you to read it because I address some of the issues you're talking about that the two of you in the privacy of your home can read and talk about to be a help to you. I appreciate you calling. Hang on, Sally. I'll get that for you, and we'll ship it off to you.
Dr. Randy, this is Lisa calling from Phoenix, and I'm not married, and what I was thinking is sometimes I feel starved for affection as a single, and I would like to see you address that. Sometimes I feel like all the good men are taken. I'm 31 years old, and I've lived a celibate life thus far, you know, waiting for my husband. Yeah, I'm starved for affection as a single. I mean, there is an element of loneliness and you know, frustration, and I feel like I have a lot of love to give, and I really don't have that special person to give it to.
You know, in the book Starve for Affection, when I use the word affection, lots of different thoughts come to people's minds. For some people, it's sexual. But, you know, affection is something much broader. To affect a person means you touch their hearts, you move them. And we can have affection around agreement and goals. We can have affection around sharing commonality of our faith. There's lots of ways that we can develop the kind of affection. So often in our culture, we have a distortion of what affection really is and what God's intention is. But it is a powerful and necessary part of marriage. In fact, the research that I've seen shows that for a woman, affection is critical. And it is for man too, but very, very high on the list for women. And respect, very high on the list for men, the power of affection. By the way, the book Starve for Affection is one of our resources here at our Intentional Living Center. Many of you have received it as you have joined in monthly support of the Intentional Living Ministry, and we thank you for that. If you want to check it out, you can go to our bookstore at our site at theintentionallife.com. Here's a fact. As we think about work, And I think if we're honest when we think about work, my first thought is often, what's in it for me? We're all guilty, right? The second thought ought to be, what's in it for others? Because that's really what that scripture is saying. Work so that you can provide for others. There's something that happens in my mind when I realize I'm going to do something, speak at a conference or whatever, and it's not about me, it's about them. Not about me, but it's about them.
That's one of the solutions to the problem of self. When we have our focus clear, as you read scripture, it's about other people. And many references throughout the New Testament where Christ reminds us and the writers of scripture remind us that the focus is on other people, not on us. You know, by the way, that's an excerpt from the teaching part two on the problem of self and the solution to the problem of self. And members, you've received part one in May. Part two will be coming your way here if you haven't already received it here in June. You may already have it in the mail. But if you're not a member, I just want to ask you, I want to just ask you to come and join us in support of the ministry. Our fiscal year ends here on the 30th of June in just a couple of weeks. And you've heard me say that we've been behind where we need to be in terms of our budget for the ministry. And I just want to ask you to step up and do something very special to help us close out this month and this fiscal year. Your support really matters a great deal. And if you'll join us as a new member in monthly support, we'll make sure that you receive part one and part two, the problem of self and the solution to the problem of self, as a way of saying thanks, and then ongoing each and every month, brand new teaching from me to you to say thank you for your support. Okay? Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on the donate button there. All right? Also, when you're at the website, there's two very important things. One is our upcoming conference in Albuquerque, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I, focusing on marriage, the Intentional Marriage Conference in Albuquerque, coming up on Saturday, November the 10th. And then before then, in October, my wife Donna and I are taking a tour of Washington, D.C. We're going to have a great experience with many of our listeners from around the country. If you haven't checked it out, I hope you will today. All the information there available for you at theintentionallife.com. Hey, our friend Stormy O'Mardian will be coming and joining me once again Monday. So I hope you come and join us here at Intentional Living. Have a great weekend.